much do you trust your memory? We all have the odd lapses, of course, some days worse than others. I'm sure you know what I mean. But when it comes to relying on someone's memory in court, it is, of course, a serious matter. A new report published by the British Psychological Society suggests that memories are a record of people's experiences of events, not a record of those events themselves. It says that there are ramifications for the way that witness evidence should be treated in court. The report's main author is Professor Martin Conway of the University of Leeds.
Our memories are reliable, particularly at more abstract levels. People don't often make many mistakes about schools they went to, people they've known, places they've lived, etc. It's only when it comes to remembering specific experiences that we start to find quite a few errors emerging, and sometimes even wholly false memories.
Well, you recall a middle-aged man talking about the moon landings. Tell me about that case.
Well, it was very interesting. That man was actually a barrister, and I was giving a talk to a group of lawyers, and he told me at the end of my talk, he'd remembered his father asking him who was the first man on the moon. His father had asked him this while his father had been on the phone to the mother about the birth of his brother, which is always a disturbing event for a young man. He was 4 years old at the time. During my talk, he realised that, in fact, his brother was born in 1968, 1 year before the moon landings, and therefore the memory had to be false.
So he'd placed his brother in a situation where he couldn't possibly be because of the situation at the time?
That's one interpretation.
So what does this mean then when memory has to be relied on? For example, if somebody is giving evidence in court?
Well, I think the bottom line from the perspective of memory research is that without additional independent corroborating evidence, you simply can't know whether a memory is true, false, or, much more likely, a mix of both of those things. We can say something about what memories look like, and we can point to descriptions of memories which are implausible for various reasons, but they're kind of indicative rather than definitive comments on the nature of a memory.
But are you saying that courts can rely on a person's memory?
I believe courts can rely on a person's memory, but they should really only rely on that memory when there is additional evidence which is independent of the memory.
What, you mean expert witnesses?
No, I mean evidence from other sources, the police, social services, other witnesses, possibly an expert witness.
What have you based this report on? How much evidence has been gathered on this, and how can you trust the evidence that's been gathered if we are talking about memory?
The report's based on a review of evidence from many different research groups over about the past 30 years. The evidence is very compelling. It doesn't say that memory is false. What it says is, often, most of the time, we simply can't know whether a memory is correct, incorrect, or contains both correct and incorrect details, which seems to be much more frequently the case.
Finally, how should this research be put to work in court? Theoretically, what impact could it have on the way that juries listen to evidence and the way that witnesses are put in the witness box?
The view is that juries are often driven by their beliefs about memory. And we think it would be quite useful if this report could be taken by judges, barristers, and whoever else, giving a more informed, a more scientifically informed view to jurors to help them making what are enormously difficult decisions.
That was Professor of Psychology Martin Conway. And listening to that, Matthew Ryder, who's a barrister at Matrix Chambers. He specialises in serious and complex crime. And Matthew Ryder, do you think this report will be used to give a more scientific basis to juries?
I thought the report was fascinating and I enjoyed reading it. I do think that the report will be taken up by various areas in the legal profession, judges, barristers, to give a more informed approach. Whether that means it will result in any firm policy is a different question, but I do think it's recommended reading for everybody involved in the trial process because it does inform us much better as to how memory functions and when things might seem reliable, they might not be.
Is it something that's worried you in court cases in the past?
Yeah, you always have concerns that people's memories are influenced in lots of different ways. One of the most typical examples is that it's common practice and acceptable practice for police officers to make their notes together after an event, and then they rely on their notes in court. And what I found very interesting reading this report is that process of collective memory can not only result in inaccuracy, but then it will cause the person who might choose to record it later to actually believe they saw the events or they heard the events they wrote down with others when maybe they didn't.
So what do the jury do then if they have, say, 10 witnesses with slightly differing accounts?
Well, it's absolutely commonplace for witnesses recalling an event to have slightly different accounts. Public order incident is a typical example.
And of course, people might be nervous because, you know, the court proceedings are quite difficult for some people to cope with, aren't they?
Intimidating at times, obviously. And I think that there are two factors that come into play. The first is that juries have the great virtue of applying their common sense and life experience in assessing matters. They know how difficult things can be from everyday life. We all have to assess people's accuracy and their recollections in our everyday life. And judges also warn juries about the difficulty with recollection. So, for example, it's commonplace for a judge to say, it may not be surprising that 10 people have slightly different accounts. Your concern is about the critical issues. But I do think, in addition to the normal back and forth and the normal process of warning in a criminal trial, this report may find its way into better informing judges as to how to direct juries in those sorts of situations.
But what about the central recommendation in it that there should be independent corroborating evidence, say from a police officer or from social services or indeed an expert witness, in addition to an individual's memory of an event?
I would pull back from elevating that into a firm rule, if that's a suggestion. If it's suggested that you cannot convict somebody unless there's corroborating evidence from their memory, I think that's probably going too far, because there may be instances when people's memories are very clear, there's no reason to doubt them, and there's no reason why a jury shouldn't feel comfortable relying on that. But I do think that judges will take this into account, and there may be situations where at the end of the prosecution case, if defence counsel says, we don't think there's sufficient evidence here to establish proof, it may be that the judge will say, well, if all I'm left with here is one person's recollection, in the knowledge from this report that that sort of recollection can be very shaky and unreliable, I'm not prepared to allow this case to go further. And we already have that in different areas, such as identification evidence and evidence from co-defendants who may have been involved, or not co-defendants, accomplices who may have been involved in the offence. We already have situations where judges take special care and may pull a case from the jury if they're not confident of the strength of the evidence after the prosecution's closed its case.
Matthew Ryder, thanks very much for talking to Pierre.